It's a worship time where we're going to spend a lot of time in worshiping, but we're also going to pray together. I was at a wedding yesterday. Most of the weddings I go to, I have to conduct the wedding. It was nice to go to a wedding just as a guest. It's a young man that got saved in London while we were still in ministry, and he got married. But it was, again, I'm always so reminded of the bride walking down the aisle. How ready she is. How beautiful she is. I've been to many weddings, and brides are always beautiful. And Jesus is waiting for his bride to be ready. I have never seen a bride that is not ready. I don't know if you've been to a wedding like that, but I've never been to a wedding where a bride is not ready. And Jesus is waiting for his bride to be ready. He's coming back for one bride. He's not coming back for shofar. He's not coming back for the Dutch Reform. He's not coming back for the Presbyterian, the Baptist. He's coming for his bride. We're all part of that bride. Days like these where we have an opportunity to come together is a reflection of that day. So I want to encourage you, let us together make ready for him with an expectation. We don't know when he's coming, but let us be ready for when he does. Let us prepare ourselves. Let us be excited to together worship him, because that's what we will do for eternity. So I want to encourage you, please diarize that Sunday afternoon from 2 o'clock. We're all going to be together. And then if you're here for the very first time, we have a guest lounge at the back. We'd like to meet with you. Like to get to know you. So if it's possible, it will be awesome to meet you afterwards. I want to continue on our series of Christ-likeness. I think we are on part 11. It's about following Christ. What does it mean to follow Christ? To follow his word, to follow his example, to follow his voice. And as we follow him, we are in a relationship with him. Our faith in Christ is a relationship with Christ that produces in us change. That change leads us to become more like him. And it's not just faith in the historical Christ that he did live, that he did die, and that he was resurrected. No, no. Biblical faith is a surrender of life to life. It is us following him, inviting him into our lives as we give him our lives, to be changed by him, to become more like him. That's the process. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 speaks about this. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The New Living Translation put it this way. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. It is so powerful that this process of following Jesus leads us to become more like him. And this process of becoming more like him is by God himself, the Spirit of God within us, then changes us to become more like him. It is the supernatural process of becoming more like Christ. It is this process of sanctification. After we've been saved, this process of becoming more like him. The last time I shared, we spoke on communion as we listened to the Lord's word and instruction, but also in his example at that Passover when he came together with his disciples. He said, with a fervent desire, I have desired to have this Passover with you. And it's there where he introduced not just communion, but where he came to bring the fulfillment of the Passover. And we spent some time around the significance of the Passover and the Lord's Supper on that day when he took the bread and he said, this is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is done for you. I am the unleavened bread. I'm the bread that will be broken for you. And this, taking the cup, is my blood that was shed for you. The blood of the new covenant. The old has been fulfilled in my. I have become the lamb. I have become the perfect lamb that will be sacrificed. His blood will be smeared on your doorposts of your heart so that you also can be saved, that you can also be delivered. This is the new covenant. Drink this. This is my blood for you. And we spoke about this. Jesus said while you were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, I actually have this scripture there. Next one. Matthew 26. There we go. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is so powerful if you see it in the context of Passover and the fulfillment of that and what Jesus has done. But that was 2 weeks back sermon, and you can get it for free online. But I want to continue from this point where Jesus came to institute communion, the Lord's Supper, where he said, I want you to partake of this because this is for you. My body is broken for you. Don't forget it. It's broken for you. I am the Lamb, the perfect Lamb that will satisfy God. I've come for you. And this is my blood, which is shed for you. It is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. For the forgiveness of sins. I mean, Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." What an awesome, awesome scripture. It says that through Christ's sacrifice, through his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins, redemption. We have redemption through his blood, through his sacrifice. That redemption is forgiveness of sins. Our sins have been forgiven because the sacrifice for it has been made. It has been made. You know, it's that woman that was caught in adultery. We know the story when she sinned according to the law. And the consequence of sin is death. Man's greatest dilemma before a holy God is our sin. God is a righteous God, is a just God. The God of the Old Testament did not change. He's still the same God. Don't be deceived. God is still a consuming fire. He's still a holy God. And when the woman that was caught in sin was brought before him, and the consequence of sin is death, when Jesus saw this woman and the accusation that was brought against her, he asked this question. He made it very clear. He says, "Those of you that without sin can cast the first stone," and each and everyone had to leave because they were all sinners. Jesus was the only one that could justifiably execute her for her sin. Because he was without sin, and yet the law required that the penalty of adultery is death. And Jesus stood up and said, and asked this question, "Where are your accusers? Is there nobody that condemns you?" And she looked around and said, "Lord, no one." And then Jesus says, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Why did Jesus not condemn her? Did he break the law? Didn't the law require that the penalty of sin is death? Well, we know John 3:16 that says, do you know verse 17 already by now? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." What is verse 17? "To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Why could Jesus tell this woman, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more"? Because Jesus is speaking to her and saying, "Listen here, I am going to take your punishment. The punishment that you deserve, the death that you deserve, I'm going to take that. So go and sin no more." Jesus took her place. Jesus took my place. Jesus took your place. The reason we have forgiveness of sins is because a sacrifice was made for us as the law required. But this time it was a perfect one, once and for all. Once and for all. Holiness is fulfilled in Christ's death, his sacrifice for you and me. We have forgiveness. We have forgiveness through the sacrifice God made on our behalf. That is amazing. That is amazing. You and I have forgiveness, not because God overlooked our sins. No, because God judged our sins. He did not overlook my sin. He did not overlook your sin. He saw that, and the consequence of that is death. And he placed that consequence in his son, that sin in his son, and then he punished his son so that you and I can be free. So we have forgiveness because the price has already been paid. So we have forgiveness. This forgiveness is according to the riches of his grace, meaning we did not deserve it. We did not earn it. But because of his grace towards us, because of his love towards us, he gave his son. That's what scripture all over says. For God demonstrated his love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were righteous, not while we were pursuing him. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. That's God's love towards you and me. We have forgiveness because of the sacrifice that was made. That's communion. Do not forget this. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. This is the sacrifice made for your forgiveness. Don't forget that. This is not because you earned it. It is by grace. That's why we stand. We have forgiveness. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? But that came with great expense. Great expense. Christ on the cross. Because he loves us, he became a sacrifice for us to establish forgiveness for us. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Our forgiveness is not established by our works, but through his works. And that's God's grace towards us. We don't stand before God forgiven because of what we have done. We stand before God because of what he has done. Our faith and our confidence is not in our own works, but in his works. We come to him not justified by what we have done or can possibly do. We come to him justified by the blood of the Lamb. When he sees the blood on the doorpost, he passes us over. And all you need to do is to have faith in that. That's what you need. That's grace. It's not my works, it's his works. So how do we access this great salvation? Well, John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish is a reality. The consequence of sin is a reality, but whosoever believes, whosoever appropriates, it's called appropriation, whoever, this sacrifice that God has made, he made for the whole world, for he loved the whole world, the whole world. He gave his Son. So that whosoever believes. That is how you appropriate this great sacrifice and the forgiveness of sins is through faith. When you accept not only what he has done, but when you surrender to what he has done. You give your life to him. That saves us. This relationship with him. It saves us. It's amazing. You can't earn this. It's by grace. You can't earn this. But you have to appropriate it. It's there for whosoever, but only those who believe receive it. And that biblical faith is not just a mental assent, but it's a surrender of heart to follow him. To follow him. That's why Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now that I'm saved from this world, I was trapped in this world by the sinfulness of this world, driven by the sin in me and the power of sin within me and my desires and my lusts to follow my own way. God, in my sinfulness, gave his son so that whoever turns around from this embracing will be saved, and we are saved out of this world into the kingdom of God. And we stand here with him, justified, redeemed, sanctified, declared holy. We used to be there. We got saved out of that. We are no longer driven by the power of sin. We've been freed from sin and its consequence and its power within us so that we can live holy lives for him. Not out of obligation, but out of a desire to want to please God. Because we have been saved and we realized we are no longer part of this world. So now that I'm saved from this world, from sin, can I continue in it as if nothing changed because of this grace? Well, the answer is no. Now that you've been saved from it, you cannot continue in it as if nothing has changed. That's not why grace was given to us. Grace was given to save us, not of works, but of his great love towards us. But now that we're saved, we cannot continue as if nothing has changed. That's Romans 6. We don't have enough time to go in there, but I'll read Romans 6, verse 1 and verse 15, where it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Or what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace?" The answer is again, certainly not, exclamation mark, both times. No. Now we've been saved from this, not to continue into this, but we've been saved from it into something else. So what is this? It's to follow him. And now that we follow Christ in a relationship with him, we are meant to become more like him by his Spirit that works within us. This morning, I want to share with that as a background. As we are following Jesus, his word, his example, and his voice, I want to share around this concept of forgiveness, not just what we have received, because we have forgiveness from sins based on the sacrifice at great cost that was made for us, not of our doing, of his doing. And this gives us great confidence to come into his presence, because I don't come into God's presence because what I have done. I come into his presence because what he has done. I come into his presence through the blood, and every time I come to him and I worship him and I say, "God, thank you that I can stand before you because of the sacrifice that you've made for me through your son." My confidence is in his sacrifice, which is complete. It is finished. But now that I have been forgiven, I've been forgiven at a cost, at a price. I've been set free from my sin and the consequence of sin and the punishment that I've deserved. It wasn't ignored. It wasn't put away. It was put on the Son, and he was punished so that I can be free. I have forgiveness. I have forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is something that I have received as a gift. Somebody gave me this. I didn't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. It was by grace. It's a free gift. I've been given this forgiveness. I have this. It's about this forgiveness that I want to talk about this morning. What I have received. I've received forgiveness. I've received forgiveness. Now that we are forgiven, Jesus was asked how to pray. So Jesus says, this is how we ought to pray. In Matthew 6, we read, "Now this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." What does this mean? "And forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors." We have received something from God, something precious, something that came at a cost. And as we pray, we should say, God, please forgive me as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Please forgive me as I pass this on. Well, what does this mean? You know what? In this whole prayer, there's so many powerful things. I've preached many sermons on this, and I'm sure you've heard many sermons on the Lord's Prayer and how powerful all these aspects are from the first verse to the last of this prayer. It is so powerful. There's so much if you start to unpack this. But there's only one aspect of this prayer that Jesus emphasizes. I mean, he could have emphasized what it means to pray to our Father. I mean, just calling God Father, and the concept that it's our Father, not just my Father, but our Father. He could have spoke about the fact that His kingdom, that we must pray for His kingdom to come in the same measure as it is in heaven. We must pray for that kingdom to come here. He could have said something about that. He could have said something about our needs, our daily bread. He could have said something about delivering us from temptation. But He chose to emphasize on one thing and one thing only, and that continues in verse 14. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness, something that we have received. Something that we have received. It's free. It's not our works, it's by grace. Jesus says, when we pray, we must ask God to forgive us as we pass this on. And then He emphasizes this. He says, but if you forgive other people when they sin against you, because you sinned against me. You sinned against me. And while you were still a sinner and powerless, by grace, you did not earn this. You didn't deserve it. I gave this to you. I gave this to you. But it wasn't just for you. It wasn't just for you. If you forgive others, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, if you keep this for yourself, my Father won't forgive you either. These are harsh words, Jesus. I mean, we just spoke about forgiveness by grace. We just spoke about the fact that we cannot earn this. Absolutely true. You cannot earn this. It's given to you for free. But it's not to be kept. It's not to be kept. You can say, but wait a minute. I mean, I thought it was through grace that we are saved and forgiven. Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And at great cost. But it is not just for me. It's not just for you. That's not what forgiveness is about. This life is not just about me. You know what? In the modern Christianity, we've made Christianity about me. The world is about its own desires, its own way. And sadly, sometimes Christianity is about me, myself, and I just spiritualized. My destiny, my purpose, my calling. Life is not about me. Life is not about you. In this modern world, it's about the individual and the individual's right and his rights to this and rights to that. And it's all about the individual, but in eternity, it's not. It's about God. It's about us together. It It's not about me. Forgiveness is not only something I receive for me, period, but it is something that should flow through me. That's forgiveness. For God did not love Andries that He gave His only begotten Son. No, He loved the world. This became a gift for the whole world. Not to keep, but to pass on. So what makes unforgiveness so serious? What makes it so serious that God would say, but that what you have received, unless you pass it on, unless you pass this on, what you have received for free, at no cost, you didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, but you received it unless you give it on. What makes it so serious? You know what unforgiveness is? Unforgiveness is a rope that ties us to an offense. No, it ties us not to the offense. It ties us to the person who committed the offense. I'm not offended with you, so I can give this to you. But this is what unforgiveness is. This is unforgiveness. Someone has committed an offense. Someone has sinned against me. This is what happened. Somebody sinned. She wronged me. She sinned against me. And she is guilty. It's a long rope, eh? Because it goes back a long time. Years and years ago. No, it's complicated, I know. It's not that simple. It's something that was committed a long, long time ago, and it was very painful. And I was wronged. I was wronged. And I'm still tied to you because of what you have done to me. This is unforgiveness. So we are bound together because of the sin that you have committed. But am I really free? You know, this is what unforgiveness does. Doesn't matter where I go. You can go sit again. No, really, you can. you can go sit down. You see, wherever she goes, I go. Wherever I go, she goes. This is unforgiveness. It ties us not just so much to the sin that was committed against us, the offense, but it ties us to the person who offended. And you know what I want? I want justice. No, I want retribution. What do you call it? Retribution. Retribution. I want punishment. You can go sit again. You know, this offense, this unforgiveness will remain until she is punished because of the wrong that she has done. I will hold this against her until she is punished. That's what unforgiveness is. I want to see this punishment done. What makes it so serious? It ties me to the other person and demands punishment for the wrong done. And you know what? We are both captive. We are both captive. I can never be free from her. Whenever I see her, there's this bitterness, this anger, this sense of justice and revenge that needs to be taken place before I will ever let her go. So I am not free either. Not just is she still captive to me, I am captive to her. And we see that whenever we hear the person's name, whenever we see their face, whenever they are talked about in a conversation, this rope is tightened. You know, sometimes we forget about it. and we go on with our lives. But from time to time, we come in a conversation where the name is named. And you can sit right there. And this rope is tight again. Because I'm still bound by it. It's not just the other person keeping her bound. It is the bitterness and the destruction that it brings to my own soul that keeps me bound. This bitterness and this sense for revenge and retribution that needs to take place, it is like a cancer that eats my soul. And I will not rest until I see her punished. Holding on to unforgiveness is a sin. Unforgiveness is a sin. Ephesians 4, verse 31 to 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, anger, rage, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Jesus, this is something that you have received. Where's my forgiveness? This is something that you have received for free. Somebody else paid for it. You did not deserve it. You sinned against me. But I chose to have my son die for you so that you can be free. This is yours. But I want you to do the same. Because it wasn't just for you. It wasn't just for me. It was for her also. Forgiveness in Greek literally means to let go. It means to let go. It means to cancel the debt. Who needs to let go? I do. This is what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is, you know what? I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to keep you tied to me for what you have done. I'm not going to keep you waiting for the punishment that you deserve. No, I'm going to untie myself from you. I'm going to let you go. You are forgiven. I no longer demand punishment for what you have done. I'm going to let you go. Who is now free? Both of us are free. This freedom does not mean no justice. This freedom does not mean no justice. It means only God will punish. I will no longer. I will no longer demand punishment. I will no longer pursue punishment. The only one that does is God now. Because I had the right to demand punishment for the wrong that was done against me. Therefore, there's unforgiveness. I'm not going to let you go until you have paid and made right for what you've done wrong. But now I've chosen to set you free, to let it go. Now the only one that can execute that is Christ. He remains the only one. So now I can be free. I can be free of this. There's nothing holding us to this anymore. When you set somebody free, you are not disregarding justice. No, you're giving justice over to God. You are taking somebody to the foot of the cross, the same cross where you've received your forgiveness, the same place where I've received my forgiveness, even though I was guilty, even though I deserved punishment. I was given something for free. And what I do is when I send somebody else free, I give them the same thing that I have received. And I said, listen, yeah, I want to set you free. That, what set me free, I'm going to give this to you. And what I'm doing is I'm taking this person to the cross, the very place where I received my redemption, my forgiveness. And I'm bringing this person to Jesus. And they say, Lord, this is Anneri that sinned against me. And she deserves death for what she has done against me. Lord, but I want to thank you that I too was guilty. And I too deserve death. But I receive forgiveness from you at the foot of the cross. So Lord, I bring Anneri to you. And I bring it to the foot of your cross. And I want to present her to you. And I want to say, Lord, I have forgiven her. God, I pray that you will also forgive her. And today I leave her here with you. I leave her with you as I go on with my life. What she does, however, will determine whether she will one day face a God of wrath or a God of love. Whether she now appropriates that gift that Christ has given through his death is entirely up to her. If she chooses to embrace what Christ has done for her, she will be free from the consequence of the sin she has done against me. If she rejects this offer of forgiveness with Christ, she will face the consequences of her sin against me. But that's none of my business anymore. Because I have set her free. I have forgiven her. I have taken her to the cross. I've presented it to Christ, and now it's between God and her. It's no longer me. I will rejoice to see her forgiven also by him. But when you set somebody free, you are not setting them free from justice. No, they will still face justice, either through the blood or the absence of the blood. But if they put their faith in the blood, they will be free as I am free. How can I be resentful over that? I cannot, because I myself was guilty. But I received this great forgiveness from God. So now I can live free. Forgiveness is not something that I receive for me only. It is something that flows through me. It should flow through me. Not from a place of bitterness, but from a place of gratefulness that I too was guilty. And I too did not deserve. I did not deserve it. I did not deserve to be forgiven, yet by his grace, he gave me forgiveness. This is my body, broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. I have sacrificed myself for you. Don't forget that. It's not from a place of bitterness that we set people free. It's from a place of gratefulness. When I bring the offender to Christ and I leave him at the cross there, forgiveness becomes an acknowledgement. It becomes an acknowledgement that I too was forgiven. I too was forgiven. Jesus tells this parable in Matthew 18. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me. I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him his debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a small amount in comparison. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. For his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, I will pay you. But he refused and went out and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Forgiveness is not just something that I've received for me. Forgiveness is something that is meant to flow through me. It's not just setting her free, it's setting me free. It's setting me free so that I can heal from the wounds that was inflicted in me. Unforgiveness fails to acknowledge that I too was forgiven. It fails to acknowledge what he has done for me. Unforgiveness fails to reflect his character in me. But forgiveness is God's character through me. It is the life that I have received that now flows through me. And that's why Ephesians 4 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you." It's in this place of being set free. It's not just a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling in my heart. It is a choice I make. Jesus in Gethsemane didn't want to die on the cross. It's a choice he made. We did not deserve it. Neither does Anuri. But that's not the point, is it? I receive something that is meant to flow through me. And it's in this place of being free that I can heal from the wounds. Because so many times, you know, like a wounded animal that you're trying to help. I don't know if any of you ever tried to help a wounded animal. That is so scared, so afraid, and all you want to do is help, but they are just so angry, so afraid, you cannot come close to them. That's what unforgiveness does to us. We become so angry, so bitter, God cannot approach the wounds that has been inflicted to us. But when we set somebody free, there is peace in me. The bitterness and the anger and the rage is gone. And God can come into my life and he can heal my wounds. But unforgiveness is something that is tied to this wound in me. And every time I hear the name, see the face, it rips open the scar, that scab that has been formed over time, gently starting to heal. Every time I hear a name, every time I see a face, it rips it all open again. And healing can never take place because I haven't set her free. But the moment she is free, I am free. And God can come and heal my wounds. And set me free. Not just from her, but from the pain of the wound in me. And I can heal. I can heal. Unforgiveness is a sin because we forget what we have received. A great friend of mine, Andre de Villiers, a songwriter, sang the song. He said, "To err is human. To err," or how do you pronounce it? "To err. To err is human, but to forgive is divine." That is what we're called to do because we have received it. We have received it. God wants to heal you. He wants to rid you of all bitterness, rage, and anger that eats away at your soul. He wants to bring you to a place where he can heal that wound that was inflicted into your life so that you can be whole again. But it starts with forgiveness, giving it away. giving it away. That what I have received. This morning I believe God is encouraging us to follow His example. He forgave us while we were still sinners. He forgave us despite our sinfulness. You know what? We didn't deserve it. Neither does the person that offended you. They don't deserve it either. But forgiveness is not just for them. It is for me. So now I can heal. Let us close our eyes. Lord, I want to thank you this morning publicly, Lord, for forgiving me. Because I offended you. I betrayed you. I rejected you. I sinned against you. And there was no reason. There was no reason for you to forgive me. There was nothing that I did that deserved what I received from you. God, I want to thank you for forgiving me. I want to thank you, Father, for setting me free, Lord. God, this freedom did not come cheaply. The punishment that I deserved, that woman that was caught in adultery, a punishment was paid. Not on that day, but in a few months later, your son was nailed to a cross and you punished him for her sake. So that, Lord, you could say to her with confidence, I'm not condemning you either. Go and sin no more. I will take your punishment. Lord, thank you for taking mine so that I can be free. Lord, I pray that in the same way I will not forget the cost and the price that was paid for me, Lord, when I look to those who have transgressed against me, those who sinned against me, Lord, that I will not forget the great cost at which I was set free, Lord, that what I have received, Lord, I will also give. That I will give it away to those who have sinned against me in acknowledgement of the fact that I am the greatest sinner of all. And Lord, I thank you for that gift that you have given us. Lord, I pray this morning that we will have faith, not just in your forgiveness, but also acknowledgement of what you have given us. Lord, that we will extend this forgiveness, Lord, to those who offended us, those who hurt us, Lord, not just to set them free, Lord, but so that we can heal. Lord, I know this morning you want to heal our hearts. Lord, there are people that are suffering deep wounds of sins that was committed against them that are not healing. And Lord, this morning I know, Holy Spirit, you want to come and you want to heal the wounds. You want to start this process of healing so that we can be whole, because that is why you came. You came so that we may have life and that more abundantly. Lord, I pray this morning as Holy Spirit, you search our hearts, Lord, that you will show us the people that we are tied to. And Lord, this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, not to forget, but to bring them to you. Not to forget about them. Not to block them out of our memories, Lord, but to bring those individuals to you, to the same cross that we have found our forgiveness. Lord, I pray this morning that as you reveal in our hearts the people that have sinned against us, Lord, help us to take them by name by hand. Some, we don't even know their names, but we know their faces. Lord, as we bring them to you, Lord, that we may bring them to your cross and present them to you, Lord. Jesus, this is the man. This is the woman. These are the things that they have done to me. But Lord, today I want to not only forgive them. Lord, I want to bring them to you. And Lord, I'm going to leave them with you so that you can deal with them. That you can deal with them in the same grace, the same mercy you did with me. Lord, today I'm bringing a sinner to you. And God, I'm asking for their salvation. But I'm leaving them with you. And I'm walking away from this place grateful for what I have received. Lord, I pray that you will come and heal my wounds as I set them free. I want to give you an opportunity as either all the eyes are closed, if that is you this morning and there are people that you need to forgive. Just want you to respond by saying, Lord, I have unforgiveness in my heart. But I want to set people free today. I want to set them free. If that is you, I just want you to respond by just saying, God, here I am. Thank you for the hands. You can just bring it up just before God. And as you do that, as you do that, as you raise your hand, you can drop it again. I just want you to bring those names. I just want you to bring those names. You're humbling yourself before God, but you're doing something very powerful. You're saying, God, I want to bring you someone. I want to give you an opportunity as you are reflecting on the Holy Spirit's work in your heart, just bring those names, those faces to God. I'm not going to call you forward this morning. I just want you to respond by lifting your hand. Say, Lord, here I am, Lord. I want to bring somebody to you. Lord, I know you've been speaking to me, Lord, about this person and that person. Lord, I've got this wound in me. And there's some of us here this morning, you have wounds in you that have not yet healed. I just want you to bring those people to God. Bring those people to God. It might be something small. It might be something great. Just bring those people to God. Say, Lord, I have somebody for you, Lord. I have somebody for you. I want you to set me free. Just as you do that, and there's somebody here, and there's some people here this morning. Thank you. You can drop your hands again. There's some people here. You need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself. Maybe for something that you have done. Maybe for some disappointment. But there are some people here that has never forgiven themselves for something that they have done. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning just to respond. Say, Lord, this is I cannot forgive myself. But God is saying, I have given you forgiveness. I have given you forgiveness, not just for the sin that you've committed. I've given you forgiveness for you. For you. You must just receive that. And if that is you, I just want you to respond also by just raising your hand and say, Lord, that is I. Lord, I need to forgive myself for what I have done. Lord, I've been walking around with this shame, with this guilt, with this regret in me, and I cannot stop punishing me. But Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you have given your Son, and He has taken my punishment. He has taken the punishment that I deserve so that I can be free. Today, I want to receive that freedom. I want to receive that freedom, Lord. I want to walk in the freedom that Christ has come to set me free. If that is you, just raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free from my past. I want to be free from my regret. Lord, I want to be free from the sin that I've committed. And as you raise your hand, you can drop it again. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, that this morning, Holy Spirit, you are pouring into these hearts, your love, your forgiveness, and your words on the cross when you say, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for each and every heart here this morning, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come and you will start this work of healing. You'll start this work of healing as people are being set free. Set free. Thank you, Father, that you are taking away offense. You're taking away bitterness. You are taking away anger. Lord, I pray for peace. Peace. Lord, your peace that surpasses all understanding to reign in hearts, Lord, as people are being set free. Lord, thank you for people are being brought to your cross where you can deal with them and they can be free. Thank you for people that are walking away from people because they have let go. They have forgiven. Thank you, Father, that this will continue in us, through us, Lord. As we are being offended and we are being hurt, Lord, let we not forget how we have been set free so that we can pass it on. So that we not only can live, but that you can be reflected through us to this world that needs forgiveness. That needs forgiveness. Lord, I pray that we will live our lives in such a way that people may see you through us. That we can boldly say, it is no longer I that live, but Christ in me. Lord, I pray for that and I thank you for that. And if there's somebody here this morning, you have never surrendered your life to God. You have never given your life to receive His forgiveness. Maybe you are here a sinner and you are unsure whether you are forgiven. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to respond because He loves you and He has paid for your life. And all you need to do is receive it. And if you've never come to the place where you have received His love, His forgiveness, I want to give you an opportunity to respond also this morning. Is there anybody here this morning that wants to receive Jesus as His Savior, wants to be forgiven and wants to be sure that you are forgiven? If you're unsure about your own forgiveness, I want to give you an opportunity to do so this morning. Is there anybody here this morning that wants to surrender their life while all the eyes are closed? Is there anybody? Just raise your hand and I can see. Is there anyone? Father, I thank you for this.